The Mexican, Yastubo, and Grandpa Gotcha. Hey. 273 Records Incorporated. Young Boss, Young Major, you know we made it. Ike Ellis, BK, Robin Lynn sponsoring videos with Pastor Troy and West Music. Shelly Garrett getting it, cutting at the barbershop. Willie Brown, light-skinned Bobby Brown. Judge Joe Brown, T.Y. Warm Bomb, Baby Radio, North Side Radio. Yo. Turn on your internet, vibes live, what you get? Chilling with Robin Lynn, she's about to make you win. Call you out and bring you in, chilling with the Mexican. Yastubo and Grandpa Gotcha. Hey, hey. Storm Talk 365 Bonita. Bonita. Claire Bourne, she's a superwoman, yeah, yeah. Tina Hoff, Simmons, Savvy Pro. Savvy Pro. Patrice Jackson, Mass Media, yeah. And you Maven, know. Robin Lynn, Maven. Woo. Worldwide distribution. Going Seth up. Brown Corporation. That's Girl Outfitters. Club Foodie. The Bad Brad Berkowitz. Run It Down Production. Caper, Dark Star Records. With that real slick money. Auntie with that gummy. Grandpa El Cello. Sisters in Motion. Turn on your internet. Vibes live, what you get? Chillin' with Robin Lynn. She's about to make you win. Call you out and bring you in. Chillin' with the Mexican. Yastubo and Grandpa Gotcha. Hey, hey. Turn on your internet. Vibes live, what you get? Chillin' with Robin Lynn. She's about to make you win. Call you out and bring you in. Chillin' with the Mexican. Yastubo and Grandpa Gotcha. Hey, hey. Now that's what I'm talking about right there, you know what I'm saying? We done did that, you know what I'm saying? Hey, Mr. Clean Cut Man done did that. Hey, Yastubo, you did alright, man. Orale, what's your problem, Holmes? You can't be talking about me like that, eh? It hurts my field dogs, eh? I'll talk to you later, Holmes, on the next one. ViceLive.com.
All right. And our next guest coming up today is the wonderful, the illustrious, he's everywhere, John Marshall Jones. John Marshall Jones, you know I like saying that, it's like you're in trouble. John Marshall Jones, get over here. Get over here. How you doing?
Oh, my goodness. That takes me back. My mother could call my name, and it would go all the way around the corner, down the block, over the stairs. That one call, John Marshall Jones.
Okay, all right.
It meant I was in trouble.
All right. Well, you know what? Right now, that means that you are up to a whole lot of not trouble, but some really good things. I have been watching you.
Absolutely.
I've been watching you. I mean, I know that you're an actor, but I didn't realize how much of an activist you are.
I grew up with, Stevie Wonder and Marvin Gaye being my influences. James Brown and that whole era of artists was deeply committed to using their art as a platform for activism. And we're at a place in our society right now where we literally do need to step up and say something. Mm-hmm. And, the artists so far have been slow to get to the mark. So I'm hoping that what we're doing can lead the charge.
Yes. Now you've got your upcoming movie, The Last Revolutionary. But before we talk about that, I'd like to talk about it's not a workshop, but you actually help people with their auditions. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I wrote a book and created a CD called Mastering the Audition, which basically tells the aspiring actor what it takes to be able to do a professional audition. Mm-hmm. So for people outside of the business, the audition is the actor's job interview. And, understanding that there's certain things that you have to do in a job interview to keep you in the game is an important part of this. Mm-hmm. So what we try to express to the aspiring actor is, You know you've got the talent. Let us show you how to get the part.
Yes. Now, what motivated you or what was your inspiration for doing the auditions workshops?
Well, years ago when I first got started, I realized that the audition was the keys to the kingdom. And there was a gentleman named Michael Shirtless that did a basically like a cassette tape of audition techniques as well as having a book of his own. Mm-hmm. And his book and cassette tape really set my career moving forward. There was a radical change in how I saw the process after studying his materials. Mm-hmm. So years later, of course, things had changed dramatically. You know, we were more into television and film and now new media and trying to get your craft across in these new media platforms.
Yes.
That Mr. Shirtless didn't really deal with that much. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to write a book of my own based on my own experiences and the successes that I've had to try to help people to understand that so that when you walk in the room, you look like a pro from the very beginning to the time that you leave.
Yes, excellent. Now, what would you say is the biggest obstacle that actors, particularly black actors, are facing in today's times?
Well, I think that any of our biggest obstacle in any profession that we're going after, mm-hmm, is our inability to see ourselves successfully prior to experiencing the success.
Wow.
So when you first think you want to do something, you have to be able to envision in your mind that you are doing it successfully. And if you can see yourself being successful in it, then all you have to do is start taking the steps that successful people do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are going to be a car mechanic and you see yourself owning your own shop someday, but you don't know anything about cars right now, well, the first thing that you do is you have to become an expert on cars. And so you go about the steps of becoming an expert. And after that, you go about the steps of working under other experts. And after that, you go about the steps of acquiring your own space. So it's always a process, but the process starts with our ability to see ourselves as already having done it successfully, even though we haven't arrived at that point yet. And then taking the steps that need to be taken to allow that to happen. Another way of saying it is to walk by faith and not by sight.
Yeah, okay. Can you tell us what was your hardest obstacle or what was the thing hardest for you to overcome to get where you're at today?
Probably the most difficult thing for me to overcome has been my own ego.
Okay.
And you know, I've always seen myself as a talent. This was something that was God-given. It's not something that I developed out of nothing. It was something that came out of me that I didn't know I had until it emerged.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while there, I thought that because I had this innate talent, that I didn't have to do the kind of work that people who weren't as talented as I am had to do to be successful at this.
Yes.
And it took me time to understand that that what you are given naturally is only enhanced by the amount of focus and dedication that you're willing to put into making it the greatest potential,
mm-hmm,
that it could be.
Wow.
And it took me a while to kind of wrap my mind around that I'm worthy of expressing my greatest potential. I'm worthy of that.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm worthy of it, I got to get about putting in the work to allow that to happen. And once I got to that point, that's when everything changed.
Okay. All right. Now, out of the 1,099 roles that you've played, what?
Yes.
What is, was there any of those roles that when you went to go audition for that you felt you just either didn't want to do or you just were not right for?
Well, the interesting thing is that there were many of those roles and many more of those than there are ones that I actually ended up doing.
Okay.
But the ones that I felt like I just wasn't right for, I said no before they offered any money.
Okay.
Because after, if you wait until somebody's offering you $25,000 or $50,000 a week to do something you don't want to do, it's much more difficult to say no.
Okay.
So you have to be willing on principle to say no before they offer the money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that means is that somebody else is going to say yes, and they're going to become wealthy and famous while you're standing on your principle. So you have to be really grounded in that you're okay with the idea that other people will become rich and famous doing things that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
But as long as you can stand and look in the mirror and say, hey, listen, I'm okay with who I am, then it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing.
Have you missed any opportunities like that, or no? Did any other?
Oh yeah.
Really? Ooh.
There were plenty of opportunities, but I didn't come to Hollywood just to get rich and famous.
Yes.
I came because there were a plethora of negative images of African Americans on television in the 1980s.
Yes.
And I wanted to come out here and make a difference. So I turned down all of that stuff, all of the pimps and pushers and drug dealers and thugs and all the stereotype, the fools and the buffoons and the clowns. I turned all of that down.
Yes.
And I turned it down for 10 years until I booked The Smart Guy.
Okay.
And The Smart Guy was everything that I wanted to put out there in terms of the image of African Americans. And it ended up, it has played in 175 countries around the globe, taking the image of the first ever African-American genius on television all around the globe, so that people who never met African-Americans but think they know us from TV, at least they had that as part of the portrait of what they're seeing painted before them. There was the counterbalance called The Smart Guy. And I couldn't be prouder of that accomplishment.
Yeah, and that was really a great show, a great accomplishment for not only for yourself, but for entertainment, media, for all of us as a whole. Man, you guys did really good. And they cast, whoever did the casting, they did an excellent job because y'all look just alike.
Well, you know, I walked in the room.
Yes.
And Suzanne DePass said, wow, I hope he can act. So I was fortunate enough that I brought some skills along with it.
Yes.
But the show was really about Taj Mowry and finding a cast that worked around him. And I think you're right. I think they did a really excellent job of building that cast around that young man who, by the way, has become a fabulous adult actor and a singer as well. He's really a talented young man.
Wow. Kudos. Shout out. Shout out, Taj. Now, let me ask you this. How many shows are you currently on right now? I mean, I'm going to turn on my TV and I'm going to watch you on TV. I'm going to just be nothing but the John Marshall Jones marathon.
Okay. All right. Well, on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m., I'm on In the Cut, which is on Bounce TV, which is a really big hit for Bounce, starring Dorian Wilson from The Parkers and Kalita Smith from The Bernie Mac Show and presently on Z Nation on Sci-Fi Channel.
Okay.
And it is it's a big hit. It's very, very funny. It was developed by Bentley Kyle Evans, who was one of the executives on The Martin Show and Jamie Foxx. So, you know, he's got that that pedigree of really knowing how to put a comedy together. And then on Amazon Channel, I'm on a show called Bosch, which is Amazon's number one show. And it is another, like a terrific, terrific kind of detective procedural, getting into the underbelly of the crime syndicate in Los Angeles and Las Vegas, going back and forth. So that's a great show as well. And I'm also on Shooter on the USA Channel with Ryan Phillippe. And that reminds me a lot of 24 in terms of how the action is constantly moving forward. So that's another hot show as well. And then on Netflix, you can catch me on Rectify, which was Sundance's number one show, and just went to Netflix and cracked the top 50 on Netflix. So so if you want to do a John Marshall Jones marathon, there's a lot of stuff out there.
Congratulations. You know, I think that you, John Marshall Jones, are now the official hardest working man in entertainment. Yes, that's what I think.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay, now
we'll take it.
Okay, there you go. Now let's get to the meat of this, the last revolutionary. Please tell me all about that, please.
All right, well, The Last Revolutionary is a film that we completed recently. We're on our way to the Bronze Lens Film Festival next Saturday, August 26th, at the Westin Peachtree Hotel downtown in Atlanta at 11:45 a.m. Mm-hmm. The Last Revolutionary is about two former Black Panthers, one who has become a modern-day suburban conservative, and the other who's still in the same apartment from 1972, wearing the same outfit, the apartment's filled with weapons, and he's peeking out the windows wondering why the revolution hadn't started yet. He's gotten so agitated that now he's calling all his former compatriots and telling them, hey, we said when we got to this point that we were going to take it back to the streets. Are y'all ready? But his compatriots are now doctors and judges and grandfathers, and they're not going back out to the street. So they call the suburban conservative, which is the character that I play, and tell him he's got it. That was his boy back in the day, so he's got to go and talk him down before he does something crazy.
Okay.
So I fly into Los Angeles to meet Levy Lee Simon, who plays the revolutionary, at the safe house, and the movie is about the meeting that we have, the discussion that we have, from these two disparate points of view about what the path is forward for Black America.
Okay. All right. Now, how did you come across the opportunity for this project?
Well, Levy Lee Simon, who is also my co-star, is the writer, and he and I have been producing projects for the last 10 years. And he came up with this one. He originally wrote it as a stage play. We did the stage play. It was a big hit in Los Angeles. Then we went to the National Black Theater Festival.
Okay.
It was a big hit there. We met a filmmaker there who wanted to turn it into a movie. So we all got together and collaborated on it and shot the movie last year. And it has played at the Pan African Film Festival, at the Silicon Beach Film Festival, several other film festivals, and has been getting standing ovations at the end of every showing because people are really feeling the message that we're bringing across.
Wow. Filmmaker, too. Okay, all right. What else you got in your pockets over there? You holding out. Empty your pockets. Turn around. Place your hand behind your back.
Well, I got to tell you,
yeah?
Between working on Shooter, on Bosch, on In the Cut, finishing Rectify, shooting and cutting and crafting this film, and now taking it out to film festivals, I am completely full.
Yes.
So my plate is full at this point.
I was like, is there anything I can do to help?
Well, you know something? You're doing what we need to do right now, which is to beat the talking drum. and let people know that there is a movie out here that is taking the issues of our world quite seriously and having a very serious discussion about what it is we should be doing to go forward. And that's The Last Revolutionary, which will be next Saturday, August 26th at the Weston Peachtree Hotel, 11:45 a.m., with the Bronze Lens Film Festival. Now, one of the things that I'm seeing is that our leadership right now is always ready to react to something that's going on, but they haven't given us a plan on what to do moving forward.
Yeah.
And if you're always reacting, then you're always in the position of waiting for somebody else to do something before you react to it.
Yes.
And you can't have forward progress doing that.
Yes.
So it's time for us to really start to formulate a plan for what we think is most important for Black America moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought is that it is solidifying three parts of our community: the banks, the schools, and the churches. If your banks and schools and churches are out of order, then your community is going to be out of order.
Yes, I agree.
So putting together a plan that allows us to solidify the institutions that become pillars of our community and have been for years, but need our backing again. I don't know if you know this, but there are 23 Black-owned banks in the United States. All together, they have about $4 billion in assets. But Black people spend $1.3 trillion every year. So if we were to take 10% of our money, say our savings accounts and 401ks and Roth IRAs and whatever it is that we're, whatever kind of money that we're not actually spending, we're just saving it, and move it from wherever it is to the Black bank, 10% of $1.3 trillion is $130 billion. And if we did that for 10 years, the Black banks would then, in 10 years, have $1.3 trillion with which to loan money to the community and help people start businesses and help people purchase homes and cars and help people to invest in the community in ways that we can't now because our money is not focused in our community.
Yes.
So you know, the fixes aren't that complicated. We just have to be committed to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're hoping that The Last Revolutionary can help us to begin the conversation about what direction to go forward in Black America.
Okay, excellent. All right. Well, we've come to the part of the show where we get to play a game, and it's called, what is the game called? Oh, well, if you answer the question right, you will win something. It's the question of the day, okay?
Okay.
So again, if you answer the question right, you will win something, right?
So.
Yes.
All right.
All right, now.
So what is the question of the day?
The question of the day is, and you get around, so you should have no problem answering this. The question of the day is, why did Rick James dry his feet on Eddie Murphy's couch?
Say that again?
Why did Rick James dry his feet on Eddie Murphy's couch?
Because they were wet.
Hold on, the judges says, ah. The correct answer was,
what?
Was because Eddie could buy a new one.
Oh, well.
That was taken from a skit, a Dave Chappelle skit where Charlie Murphy was doing a takeoff on Rick James. And so Rick James and
Charlie Murphy!
Yeah, they say it's supposed to be a true story, too. And so they asked Rick James, why'd you dry your feet on Eddie Murphy's couch? And he said, because Eddie could buy a new one. They should have never gave him money.
Yeah.
Well, you want to know what you would have won if you would have got the question right? You would have won.
Ooh, what would I have won?
You would have won 4 free tickets to the premiere of The Last Revolutionary.
Ah! well, tell you what, we'll let some of your other callers call in. And now that they know there are 4 free tickets to The Last Revolutionary that are available, then they'll know to get those answers right.
Just hit my inbox.
There you go.
All right. Is there anything motivational that you would like to express to someone just starting out or coming up?
I would tell someone just starting out that it is impossible to do something every day for your dream and have it turn into nothing. So, for instance, if you wanted to start, you came out and you went into a room and you set a book in there. And the first day you do it, there's a book in that room. You do that for 30 days and there's a pile of books in that room. You do it for a year and suddenly you have a library. Yeah. So the fact that you're willing to do something every day for your dream means that it absolutely is going to turn into something. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks, because they can't see your vision until it becomes the library.
Wow. Very good. Where can we find you on social media, John? John Marshall?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Biggie Fries, BiggieFryz.
Okay.
That's BiggieFryz. Or you can just reach out to me on Facebook at John Marshall Jones. I'll be there every day.
Okay, all right. Now, when you hear someone, when you're in a big old crowd, you hear someone hollering out your name, it's only me. Don't trip.
Oh, my goodness. That's going to take me back, but I'll be ready.
I really want to thank you for coming on and keeping the Vibes Live and getting on the Vibes Live red carpet exclusives. You're among great, great company. Thank you so much.
Oh, and listen.
Here. Yes.
I want to give a quick shout out to Valerie Denise Jones, my publicist, because she's been doing an excellent job setting up these interviews and getting me to places like you where I can reach the people.
Yes.
And to make sure the people know that August 26th, next Saturday at 11:45 a.m. at the Westin Peachtree Hotel, you can come down to see The Last Revolutionary. Come and meet me. I'll be there.
All right. Thank you so much. And we will see you next time. I hope you come back.
Well, I hope so, too. Let's stay in touch.
Okay, we will. You take care now. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, everyone. That was John Marshall Jones, and everyone stay tuned because we've got season 2 of the Red Carpet Exclusives starting the first Monday in September is coming up. Also, we've got Kevin and Nikki show every Wednesday at noon, Eastern Standard Time. We have got the Clean Keezy Show every Sunday night at 11 p.m. Pacific Time. We have the Marvelous Milton Smith Show. Yes, How to Succeed in a Social Marketplace. And that is noon every Tuesday. Matter of fact, just tune in to VibesLive.com. And break the knob. We'll see everyone next time. Take care.